Gray Fox. Praise Games.
Kept you waiting, huh?
Hello and welcome to Gray Fox Plays Games, the video games podcast where a bunch of friends jump on a podcast every fortnight, give or take, to talk about video games, what they love, what they hate, and that sweet, sweet fandom in between. We are flying Maison L'Etoile, as the French would say, because our Hemming is out doing something fun, no doubt, something gay, no doubt. Lock up your daughter, Smithers, but join me on the pod this week. I'm going to start with our producer, Moose.
How's it going, buddy?
I inadvertently Ric Flair'd there. Yeah, you know, sometimes it just happens. Also, I noticed my daughter does this. She inadvertently Mario's. Like, she was just walking along. She went, woohoo! And I was just like, did you just Mario? There we go. How you doing, Moles? Happy Easter.
I'm good. Happy Easter to you too. Yeah, I'm good. I've got a belly full of chocolates. So I am very happy.
That sounds like a really boring, like, 50 Cent song. I've got a belly full of chocolate and a whole lot of moles.
I'm happy.
And another man, he's been out for a minute, but just like we've tagged out Hemming, we've tagged in a Michael. Hello, sir. Happy Easter to you.
I'm in no way, shape or form a good substitute for Alex Hemming.
So it's like an international break sub.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, this guy sucks. This isn't the standard we're used to. I'm not going to be able to do justice to the man that's missing today. But we will try and do a quick and easy podcast in order to take your ailments away.
Ah, I see. How's Easter in the land of the sun, as in anywhere that's not the UK? Was it nice? Was it good? Anything Spanish about this Easter?
My folks came to visit. They stayed for a bunch of days. It rained a lot, which is quite funny.
They could have stayed at home.
Exactly. And then, the last couple of days, I've just been doing a lot of gardening, which has been quite back-breaking. But I've also been playing video games, so hooray!
Ah, huzzah! Well then, Mikey, bring us in. What have you been playing, brother?
Can I start with what I've been watching first?
Yes, you may.
X-Men 97!
Talk to me, man.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's... Can I swear on this podcast?
You may.
It's fucking amazing, is what it is. For my money, it's the best thing since the halcyon days of Endgame and Infinity War and all that stuff. It's fucking brilliant, man. I haven't watched today's episode. That's my job for after this podcast.
Today, I thought it came out on Thursdays.
No. It's
Wednesday, he has risen,
man.
Oh,
yeah. And, yes. And the thing is, so I read the synopsis for tonight's episode, and it's a two-parter. Yeah, and it sounds amazing. So It's everything I wanted, to be honest, and more. The only criticism I can give of it is that they're covering off so much ground so quickly that they could have slowed down a little bit. Like the last episode where they introduced Madeline Pryor, spoiler alert for something that I've just said, that doesn't really work. I called that with you, Flint, like a
you
week
did.
Ago. I was like,
you did it,
ain't,
you did indeed.
Ain't mistake, bro. I know exactly who this is going to be. And they kind of wrapped that up, and they wrapped that. Then they started doing. They've done the Storm stuff as well. Like they've done about five different things, and they did like the origin of fucking Cable as well.
Yeah,
all in one episode, and it's just like, that was bloody quick. And so,
but it was done well.
It's done incredibly well, and I still quite. I'll be honest. I haven't gotten over Cyclops' entrance from the fucking.
Oh my days! What an entrance!
Where he's just like using his optic blast as a fucking maneuverability device, and he lands on the floor, and then he's got the fucking epic music as he rises out of the smoke.
To me, my X-Men.
They have finally glorious done justice to Cyclops. He's the fucking man now, and I love it. I fucking love it. Also, they've also got Magneto in the role he was born to play, baby.
Daddy Magneto.
Do you know what I mean? They've brought back his horrible outfit with the giant M on it from the Trial of Magneto, which, of course, they did that in, like, you know, an episode, of course, as well. Look, the whole thing's incredible. There are, including tonight's episode, six episodes left. Apparently, it's been renewed for another season three. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, though, the showrunner, the guy who wrote... So, to your point about how they're racing ahead, as you also mentioned, this is part of the MCU now, Marvel Animation. It opens up with that to begin with. And Kevin Feige is a producer on this and inputs to this. And he basically gave them carte blanche and said, when we done phases 1 to 3... we always said, if in doubt, go to the page, go to the comic books, even if you've like raced ahead and cherry pick from whatever you want. And he said, you know, opened up the treasure trove and said, just go with every comic, any story you want, and you can just go for it. It doesn't matter if I'm going to touch it in the movies or not, just go for it. And I do agree they've gone at breakneck speed, but I think they need to leave everything on the field because they couldn't assume they're gonna get like 4 or 5 seasons to like touch upon all these different threads. So they just fucking went for it, and it pays. It's amazing. However, for whatever reason, the showrunner was fired already. Like, so cause it takes so long to make this stuff, they actually are pretty much done with season 2. Like, pretty much that's in the can already. Yeah. And because of how well the first 3 episodes, that's where we are, people. Just the first 3 episodes, on the strength of the reception of that alone, they have commissioned a 3rd season. Now, this will be of a new showrunner at this point. Who knows? Hopefully, it'll be someone from the previous setup. And we don't know what this person done to warrant being fired. So we're not going to speculate on that kind of stuff. But what we can say, though, is that this looks
baseless,
incredible.
Baseless speculation is what we're going for.
He diddled. He clearly diddled.
Now, look. By all accounts, the only thing I've heard about him, and again, I don't want to speculate, it's not good, but there are rumours that he has been incredibly difficult to work with. That's one thing that I have heard. I mean, look, it's got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes at the moment. It was with a big fat 100 for quite some time. Anyway, I'll leave X-Men on the table because I'm going to be talking about it probably every week until I join... The land between.
When you watch it, it's a quick question. When you watch it, do you feel like, you know, a prepubescent teen on a Saturday morning in his pyjamas watching X-Men episodes on Saturday morning TV? Does that give you the sense that you had back then?
I think what it describes is that, you know, in that movie Ratatouille, where Peter O'Toole eats the food and then he gets transported back and he's overcome with emotion. That's the feeling I get. There's a trick they've missed, though, Mikey, and I really wish they'd done this. I really wish that they dropped the episodes at 9 a.m. on a Saturday. I wish they'd done that.
There you go. It would have been perfect.
I used that exact Ratatouille line with my wife because it's how I feel. It's how I feel. And they've there are some things where it's like Wolverine doesn't sound great these days. In some instances, he sounds like a pirate, and it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. But Rogue's voice, I ain't getting on board with her voice.
She sounds like Marge. You know how, like, the latest episodes of The Simpsons, Marge sounds like a 60-year-old woman. Rogue sounds like a 60-year-old woman, but she's in a 20-something-year-old body with a really sexy body. And it's like, I'm feeling things for this old woman.
that's not hot. No, but going away from what we've been watching to all I've been watching, I've been playing. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Playing. There has been... I would say 2 main things that I've been playing. The first one is obviously Helldivers. I assume on the last show you guys spoke at length about the glory that is Helldivers.
We touched upon it a little bit, but at that point only Hemming was the one who was racing ahead and Mull's only just started. So feel free to give us your take on Super Earth.
I'll leave Helldivers with you, Mull's, because I want to talk about something else. I've gone back into Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Heavily, I would say, because I purchased Dragon's Dogma 2, okay, because I had a £20 vouchery thing, and I was like, hello, let's play some of this, shall we? And I started it, and I'm like, this feels great, this looks great, the quality here is great, however, it's not. I have this nagging voice in my head, and I was talking to Hemming the other day about
it. It's that same thing that I get when I play Final Fantasy 16. It's not Elden Ring, and now to go and play Elden Ring.
It's not that. I will say it's not. I mean, yeah, obviously it's not Elden Ring. It's the Bloodborne problem I had with The Witcher, where I was like, I can't play The Witcher because I haven't completed Bloodborne yet. Yeah, that was how I felt.
Oh, I see.
I can't. I feel because I'm liking what I've seen played so far of Dragon's Dogma 2. I really am. It's really good. But I've got Elden Ring sitting there and I haven't completed it yet. And I'm just like, need to probably do that. And also you've got the DLC looming on the horizon.
Mm.
And it's like, kind of need to get going with that guy. So in between gardening over the last 2 days, I think I've killed 6 bosses, which I've just been hacking my way through them, which has been, it's been joyous, man. I fucking love this game. There's bits, instead of just going down the critical path, I've just been fucking around basically and doing, my intention was to go down the critical path and just get it done. But then I've just found myself doing things that I shouldn't be doing and discovering places I didn't know about and then just doing loads of random stuff. And it's just, man, I was talking to my brother-in-law over the weekend because he completed Sekiro recently.
Right.
And he then completed Bloodborne. Because I was like, bro, Bloodborne's amazing. He's like, I can't get into it. But then he played Sekiro and it clicked for him. It was like, wow, this combat is fucking excellent.
It's weird that Sekiro's the gateway drug for him for Souls games.
Yeah. This is it. Because he goes, oh, the Dark Souls games are too slow. Then he played Sekiro and he was like, now we're talking. That got him into Bloodborne because that is a kind of thing that, and the next game he will try is The Ring. And I said to him, like, Bloodborne is like, possibly my favorite game ever. Possibly. It's up in the conversation. And I do sit there occasionally when I'm on my horse, old Torment, and I'm galloping through some incredible vistas and I can see things in the distance that I know I can go and smash with my hammer at another point. And I just, the music, the atmosphere, the feeling, is it better than Bloodborne? This is what I can't decide. It's not as tight and as focused, but when I find myself in a dungeon of some kind or a city and it's fucking humongous and it's like, this could be an entire game just in this fucking area. Like I was in the, the Lendel, how do you pronounce it? Lendel capital? How do you pronounce that one?
You're doing a better job than me.
Lendel capital? That place is fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just great.
Yep.
And now I've finally unlocked to go up to the Giants. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
But it's great.
That big red bastard.
Yep. Oh, mate, it's just it's just an intoxicating game, isn't it? And once I cook this motherfucker away, then we'll be on to the Dogma, in between copious amounts of Hell Divers, which I'm sure Mr. Moles will talk to us all about now.
Yes, Moles. Dive into me, pal. Oh, tell me about your journey to the Super Earth.
I have a problem when you guys all go, oh, get a game, we're all going to play it, I was like, I don't want to be left out. So I purchased Helldivers 2, obviously, and have played nothing but Helldivers 2 for the past
I love it when Moles gets addicted, because I'll go to bed and I'll open up the PlayStation app. And I'll just see Atomic Moles.
Yeah, I'll get half hour in before bed. This has happened with GTA Online. You all went, oh, let's all play together. I was like, yeah, I got friends, let's all play games together. And then I get addicted, and I pumped quite a few hours into GTA Online, and now I'm pumping quite a few hours into Helldivers. And it's addictive.
It's such a little darling, though,
and
isn't it?
It is. It's everything Hemming said it would be. It's, oh, you can do 20-minute matches. Doesn't matter who you play with. You can get in and out in no time at all, or you can spend your time and, you know, at your leisure, just go and do everything. And it is wonderful. And the devs have done a fantastic job because it's built on an old engine that's no longer supported. But it's next-gen, you know, graphics. It's fluid. It works. You can play with your friends. You can jump in. It's just fun.
I'm so conflicted about this game because everything you've said there, completely agree. It's so playable and so fun. And also, 35 schmeckles, let's just give a fucking high five for someone who actually decided to make a game that was actually affordable for most people. Now, we'll talk about it in the news later about Sony's strategy going forward. But I can't help but feel this game is probably a positive recipient of having all these games as a services around to leverage benefits of and expertise and that kind of thing. And if this is the future of Sony, of like launching these kind of games, because no one even at Sony thought that this was going to be as successful as it has been. And I also think that their dual strategy of launching on Steam as well is chef's kiss for how it's going for them. But I really fucking hate gas games because there's been so many poor ones, right? But this is it done right. Like I pay my money, I have a bit of fun. If I want to invest more money, I can do, or I can just grind the fun. But either way, it's fundamentally fun. Mikey.
There's no... Sorry, I'm eating sweets. I'm really confused by Helldivers because where's my battle pass?
Where's the
battle pass? Where's the seasonal passes that I have to buy in order to get the best guns and shit and all the stuff? Where's all that stuff? And where's the loot boxes and endless microtransactions and all that shit?
Well, no, they've done it right, man.
It's there, but you don't have to have it. That's what's great about it. But
this is it. Like, the currency that you use to buy the things from the superstore, you get in the game. So yep. It's like, it's not... I can't level up quicker, you know? And the fact that the devs are just like, oh, by the way, here's like two or three new stratagems to help you with some. Do you know what I mean? Like, this stuff, it's a breath of fresh air, and
it is. And what I love about it, they don't take it. They don't take it too seriously. It's a fun. It's fun in games. Mm. There's plenty of jokes in there. It is, you know, basically Starship Troopers. Let's face it.
I love that concept so much, and it's done so ham. Everything's so ham, right?
It's not serious.
Democracy.
At all.
I love it.
And that's it's great. It's a great game. It plays well. It's got a great premise. You know, it's easy to jump in with your mates. Like Mikey says, you don't have to pile money into it. You don't have to, and you get decent rewards as well. There we go.
You progress the game by playing the game.
Yeah.
And one of the other things about it, it's the last thing I'll say, but I play the game because I really enjoy the gameplay.
Yeah.
It's not about the unlocks or what have you. It's like, yeah, man, I'll level up and I'll be able to afford that thing. But the actual gameplay, the reason I'm playing the game is because it's fun as balls to play. You know what I mean? It's hard as fucking balls at times, but it's just really fun. And I feel like still, all of us when we play together, we're kind of just scratching the surface still. I feel like there's so much more we haven't seen that they're going to throw at us. And there's a lot in the fucking, in the oven, which they're preparing. Do you know what I mean as well? And it's just like, yeah, they've got lightning in a bottle with this bad boy, and I feel like this will be supported for a long time. This will be going because it's really really fun.
Yeah,
well, it's gonna have to, because if you look at the schedule for Sony, until probably April of next year, we're not getting massive first party exclusives coming out. They've all been canned or cancelled, because I bet your Last of Us Factions was meant to be coming out in the next sort of 6 months. They canned that. Insomniac had a Spider-Man gas game. They canned that. There are so many first-party exclusives that were canned that were meant to drop over the next sort of 6 to 12 months that Sony really need games like Helldivers 2 to pick up the slack and pick up the conversation and keep us wanting to keep playing. So, I mean, it's an unexpected hit, but so happy that things like this exist. And, sorry, I'm talking over you a bit, man, but agree with everything you said. Yeah, loved it.
It's fantastic. And if may long they continue to drip-feed content, surprisingly. Mm. Oh, well, what the fuck is that? It's a flying bug. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, but the fact that they're denying the existence of it for a bit was beautiful.
They play the developers, the CEO, they play so well with the community as well. I'm really enjoying it. Love it.
I'd love to know how many people are Arrow, the number of people at Arrowhead that have worked on this project, and then compare that to the number of people that have been bloated at Bungie for supporting Destiny, because it's almost night and day difference in terms of how to run, how to work with your community, how to keep people engaged. You don't have to have massive annual passes and get people to fork out 80 schmeckles. You can actually just engage them on social media and make them love the lore as much as you do and get them to buy into it. And it's a really simple concept, and it's still fun.
And I guarantee that in 2 years, they release a big expansion or something like that.
Yeah.
People will get it because they've shown, because everything has been done in good faith by the developers. Like, it's a good faith game. It's not like in the early days of Destiny 2, I fucking put money, everything they released, I was like, I'm definitely buying it.
This is day one,
awesome.
Done. Yeah.
But over time, you realize that, man, they're just cooking my pay. They are cooking my loyalty, and I'm buying a fucking an expansion for it. and it's just one new map, it's one new exotic, and I've still got to buy a season pass to get everything. And it's just a load of grinding, and it's the same stuff. Do you know what I mean? That they kind of took my loyalty for granted, nature. I feel, Bungie. Whereas these guys, I'm just like, I don't get that so far. It feels like they're really engaging with the community. They're giving out a load of stuff for free, which is always
They've
good.
Dropped more free content. Sorry, they've dropped more content than what we have paid for from Destiny in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and it was 35 bones, man. Like, come on.
Well, let's hope. Days. Let's hope that they don't go down the path that Bungie did with Destiny 2, where they do a big expansion once a year. They introduce season passes, and we fall into that trap again. Let's hope that that they just continue to drip feed. And there are, you know, there are these little season kind of battle passes. If you want them, you get a few extra guns, you get different armor, etc., etc. You premium content if you want it. But at the minute, it feels like you don't need that to be enjoying yourself.
But so that's so when you press square and you get the war bonds, and you get the two more below.
Mm-hmm.
It was my understanding that after you'd done the first one, you then move on to the next one.
Like you said earlier on, you can gain the currency in game, so you can unlock, here's 150 in the main part. So if you have enough off those credits, then you could spend those credits to get them, to get the premium ones.
Yeah.
Or you can just pay your, I don't know, what is it, 8 to 10 quid or whatever it is to just have it.
Nah, I've got to earn it. Got to earn that shit. Blood, sweat, and tears. Blood, sweat, and bugs.
I thought the war bonds did something different, for what it's worth. I thought the pages where you go down, where you've got, like, there's a futuristic one.
There's a mechanism to unlock them. I don't know what that mechanism is.
I don't know what the mechanism is. Yeah. But the superstore, yes, the items you get on there that you can just buy some bones and do it that way. Yeah. I wasn't sure about... I know you can get onto the tracks using dollar, because it's like 10,000 something or other. But, like, I thought there was another... You cook through the main war bond, and then I thought you then get to the, but I may be wrong. I don't know the exact system, but I've looked at it and it wasn't straightforward. I didn't think it was just buy this now and you'll get gem. I didn't think it was.
The option to spend your dollar on it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Mulsey's clearly going to be spending. He's got that face that says, "Come payday, I'm going in, motherfucker." No. Fair enough, Mulsey. Thanks, buddy. Well, just before we round off, Mikey, this was your game of the year last year. I picked it up. I bought it 2 weeks ago. Spider-Man 2. I need to talk to you about this game. Oh, my days, my boy. I know you've waxed lyrical about this, and I see the light. I see how great this game is. You know what I think about? Back in 2004, there was a little movie called Spider-Man 2 released, and a little 18-year-old boy called Adam Flint watched that in awe at the screen. He also went and played the video game version, and he always thought, maybe one day I can swing through the city of New York screaming, wahoo, and just quipping throughout fun and tie it in with an amazing narrative. And hot damn, fast forward 20 years later, we get Spider-Man 2, but obviously not the Sam Raimi movie universe, but the Insomniac universe. Holy crap. It's the goddamn most perfect superhero game I think I've ever played. They have taken everything that you loved about the original games. I think they've amped it up. They have added traversal to the nth degree with web wings, how you can literally fly around. It stood on the shoulders of Arkham City. It listened to some lessons from GTA and it turned around and said, fuck it, this is our turn. And oh, I have never been so addicted to a game so sure. I've never done a platinum so quickly as well. And it was an accidental platinum. It's just because it's so fun. You just do all the side quests because they're fun. And then you go, oh, I want to have more fun. And then you unlock more fun. And you know what? Like, there's more fun to be had. So I'm going to go have that. And the story, like... I've got a soft spot. There are two Spider-Man stories that I always love watching interpretations of. One of them is the symbiote story, which is a main part of this. And the other one is, I've only ever seen it on the animated series. And that's when Peter mutates into a giant man spider. And Kraven the Hunter is a big part of that story because he has to hunt Peter down for his own benefit and help him. And it's a great episode because it actually crosses over with X-Men and actually crosses over the X-Men 97 universe. So maybe, Mikey, there's a world where we get that fucking... Maybe that happens, who knows, right? But all of that, combined with Insomniac's amazing ability for environmental storytelling, for a real... It felt like such a lived-in, connected world. When you go for that mission in the Sanctum Sanctorum, just a little side quest, but it's so much fun. When you swing past... what used to be Fisk Tower, and you see them painting a 4 on the building because maybe that's going to become the Baxter Building. Or when you walk down the street and you see Nelson and Nurdok, like a plaque on the side there. They don't have to give you too much, but you can pull at the threads and go, oh, this is such an interconnected universe. And we know a little bit now because of that leak that they're working towards an Avengers game. But, oh, mate, it's so good. I'm crying because it's over.
Mate, it's how I felt. When it was over, I was gutted. I spoke about it at length on this pod, but I absolutely loved it. Well, I really liked Craven, man. I thought he was a really cool bad guy.
Yeah. Cool death. I mean, spoiler alert, fuck it, but it's a cool death.
Very cool death. It was like one of those things where I was waiting for it, like, is that going to happen? And then it finally happened in the best way.
Yeah.
They didn't just kind of, you know, shoot the load early with that. They waited for the best time to do the thing that you want the thing to do the most. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, now we're talking. I agree with everything you said. The only other thing I'll say, when you go to your suit selections, and obviously other than the Miles Endgame suit being fucking trash, but when you go to your suits, it is just incredible. There's so many suits and none of them are DLC. None of them are like, oh, you got to pay some money for another suit selection thing. It's just like,
good for
here's
them.
All this... Here's all the suits, and every time you unlock a suit, you get all the color variants as well for nothing. It's like, oh wow, that's fucking.
What's
genius,
your
isn't it?
So what's your favorite? So my favorite for Peter Parker is the Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit, because that looks fucking gorgeous in the game. And whenever like you see the videos and the different light textures and stuff, oh, it looks so good. For Miles Morales, it's the Across the Spider-Verse, because the animation, the animation on that suit. And on the PS5, the power of the PS5 and the SSD and everything else, you are playing Across the Spider-Verse in a game. Like, there's no... Like, you could literally just video that and you could think that's a scene from the movie. It is that good.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I played with the Across the Spider-Verse suit for Miles, basically, as soon as I got it. That was the only one I had on. For Peter, I had the... What was the big robotic one? That was quite fun. The big metallic.
Oh, the shiny. Iron Spider.
The Iron Spider one was pretty cool. And then I also liked the Spider-Man Noir suit, man. That just cracks me up.
And he gets the little Rubik's Cube out.
It just amuses me, like, the animation for it and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I really enjoyed that one as well. But I just changed it up quite often, to be honest. Like, I just kind of tried them all out at various times just because I was like, I can do it. It doesn't cost me nothing. Like, I'm going to unlock them all anyway, so who cares?
I did like the black suit though during the stages, right? Because like as the game progresses, and this is where I get really pissed off, because straight afterwards, like, you know when you complete a game and you're like, I'm not done. I need to listen to as many podcasts as possible talking about the lore and people's reactions, all this kind of stuff. Now, because this game's been out for like 6 months or so now, there's loads out there, right? And the amount of crappy think pieces by jumped up so-called game journalists moaning about the pacing or saying, oh, it doesn't feel like a massive jump up. It's like, go to hell, man. Like, what? Where are you coming from? Because this pacing is brilliant. And it's a video game. You go at the pace you want to. I don't understand.
Yeah. There were a couple of bits in the story which did drag their asses. Like when you have to go to the school and it's like,
the Miles bit in Vision's Academy bit.
No, the bit where you're Peter and you're doing the flashback.
Oh, the Harry flashbacks. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, this is pretty boring, to be honest. And the bit where, like, and I know what they were going for, but when you have to be, I think you'd be like, are you the deaf girl and you're doing the thing? It's like,
That's been quite dividing, hasn't it? Like, some people said it's an amazing, like, piece of representation in games. Some people go, it's just fucking boring.
I can see both of it. I'm happy for it to be there, but it kind of, I was doing it and I'm like, yeah, I wish this would go faster. There's a couple of bits like that where I'm like,
wasn't very fun.
Yeah, and like at the start where you've got to go and tidy the kitchen and shit. It's like, great, like, fucking hell, what are we doing here? So they did do that a little bit, but... And they also, like, the Mary Jane fucking Mary Jane, solid.
Yeah. Well, she goes through three different games in this. So she starts out as Mary Gear Watson. She then goes to The Last of Watson, where she can all of a sudden see people and creep around like Joel. And then she just becomes Mary Ripley, where she's just got a big gun and can take down fucking aliens all of a sudden. It's like, why don't you just have that gun? Don't even need fucking Spider-Man anymore. Sorry,
this is
Pete.
It. Like, that gun can do all of the work. Why the fuck are we bothering with Spider-Man if you've just got the fucking the Punisher over here? Like, I didn't really... Like, they did kind of make her to be some kind of Terminator-esque unstoppable force, which was a bit strange to me, but fine. I have two complaints, and I've reflected on them enormously. I have two complaints of the game. Number one, I did find the boss battles to be a little bit boring. It was just remember the sequence, press the button, and that was just like, I get it. It's fine because. I'm not playing Elden Ring here, you know. I get it. It is going to be here's stage one where Venom's going to throw these things at you and you have to press this. Like, I get it. Fine. That's what you've gone for. But I remember like the biggest criticisms of Batman Arkham Asylum was like the boss battles suck. That they didn't improve in City. They didn't improve in Night. Nah. It's just formulaic things. And
the opening cinematic with Sandman, although it was basically just to say, this is the PS5, motherfucker. But I thought it looked amazing, the different transitions flying through the buildings and stuff.
It absolutely did. But I kind of feel like the game relied on a lot of bells and whistles to hide the fact that actually these boss fights are quite dull. It looked cool and I'm like, wow, this is really cool. But when it's like, for example, when you're fighting the lizard in the thing and it's just like, oh, he's gone on the ceiling again, better web him up and press my button, and it's like, oh, and I've got to do that three times, great. And it's just like, come on, man, like, this surely we've got something better to offer than that. So that was one small criticism I had of it. And the other one was just like, and this is not really a criticism of the game because, goddamn, I fucking loved it. As you say, I accidentally platinumed the bastard. I kind of wish there was more to do. I wanted more stuff. And not fucking set up a fucking, green...
Oh, Emily May Foundation ones.
I've got to fucking pretend to be a bee and fucking pollinate some flowers. Like, fuck off, man. Like, that stuff, fine. Give me more... You know, there's a bank robbery, go and cook some dude. Like, give me more of, like, classic Spider-Man-esque, you know, japers. Give me more of that and make them plentiful. Because after you've completed the game and you've got the platinum, there's not much to do other than, like, the only thing you've really got to do is, like, you'll get symbiotes that are randomly attacking a bus or something. It's like, all right, I really want to ride the bus today. So I'd like more to do, but I appreciate that it was a fucking great game. And me wanting more things to do isn't indicative of the game not offering me enough stuff, but more so that I just really want more to do.
Yeah, it was like a delicious cake that ran out and you just want more cake. But actually, let's put a pin in that bit because I think there's a bit about the first news item about decisions Sony has made over the last couple of years, which might tie into some of that. But one last thing on that. I agree with everything you said. There's one thing that really sucks, and that is this storyline is heavily influenced by the Planet of the Symbiotes storyline in the Marvel comic universe and about the origins of the comic, and how all the symbiotes and the patterns and designs and the art style, the artist and the story creator has not received a single penny, hasn't even got like a special credit in the rolling credits of the game. That fucking sucks. I hope Insomniac correct that. I hope they correct that soon, because like, you're right, there are so many homages from previous comics and everything else, but like, you're literally taking the art style of the symbiotes from this comic and you're not acknowledging the people that created that. That kind of fucking sucks, so please correct that. Yeah, that aside, beautiful.
Boo earns to Insomniac. That fucking blows, man. Come on.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, let's go on with some news. All right, so we talked a little bit about this across a couple of pods, but Jim Ryan for It Is He has officially left Sony Entertainment, which means they need to fill that big old gym-shaped hole. And you know who they got to fill that big old gym-shaped hole? A gentleman called Hiroki Totoki, who is the CFO of Sony. And he stepped into the role officially 2 days ago, but he's actually in the last 6 months been like the hand of the king, advising, going around various studios. Now, Sony have been in the news for great reasons, but also crap reasons for the last 6 months. And I think now we can start to see where some of those decisions came from, where it's about the layoffs, when it comes about games as a service being canned at a lot of the first-party studios. And I thought that was quite interesting to bring up, because I think this shows this guy's direction. He might be, although this has been very clear, Sony have been, this is very temporary. In fact, he even came out and made a little statement. I'm going to quote his little statement now. Jim Ryan has been an inspirational leader throughout his 10-year period with us, but never more so than overseeing the launch of the PlayStation 5 in the midst of a global pandemic. The extraordinary achievement made by the SIE team has been steadily built on the PlayStation 5 and is on track to be the most successful console yet. I'm immensely grateful to Jim and all of his achievements. He also said on an earnings call that although the volume of PlayStation 5s are comparable to PS4 and is about to overtake it, the revenue has been significantly less on first-party games as well. So they obviously want to stop spending money as much. They want more games that aren't going to cost a buttload and have a lot of services to them. And at the same time, he's kind of trying to like steady the ship, because there's been a few little moments. Rise of Ronin came and gone. There's been a couple of sort of first party titles that haven't hit the mark as much as they'd like. So, Mikey, what is your take on this? Where do you think this is going?
I'm just doing another sweep.
Ah, yes.
I think it's interesting. This fella, was it back in February?
He
was saying that, the plan is to go more multi-platform.
PC market has been up, balancing out the books. Without a PC market, I think there'll be a much different conversation right now.
Yeah, because they did the job of basically saying they went first-party PS-exclusive stuff to grow the popularity of the PlayStation, and it's clear to see they've won the war, right? The Xbox are pretty much dust at this point. We're getting the likes of Sea of Thieves and things like that all coming to PlayStation. Like, for the most part, it looks like PlayStation 1, right? The plan now, is to be a bit more aggressive with the multi-platform stuff. Go for that. And Helldivers is the perfect example, releasing on Steam and PS at the same time. And it's the perfect way of doing it. What was your exact question, Flynn? Talk to me. I've forgotten what I was going to say.
So my question, if there was such a question, which is, well, you've already answered, to be fair, the direction of travel there Sony is going under this gentleman. And like you say, it sounds like less gas, although saying that, Helldivers 2 is a great example of gas working at the moment, but it's limited, that kind of thing, and really aggressively going for that PC market, because there is a massive audience out there. God of War, when they launched that on PC, like, we're talking years later, but done gangbusters. Spider-Man remastered. We'll get Spider-Man 2 eventually. I'm sure we're going to get Spider-Man 2 at some point on PC. And it's only going to strengthen the brand. Now, I think one of the things, though, that over the last, like I said, he's officially in a post as of the last 2 days. However, he has been in the background for the last 6 to 12 months. Knowing this was coming when Jim made that announcement, and there's a reason why they only announced it about a month before the financial year end, because of all, fine business reasons. But we have had Spider-Man 2 come out. Fantastic, to your point, Mike. Insomniac don't miss when it comes to deadlines. Insomniac don't miss when it comes to quality. They are the most important studio to Sony right now, because they are the only first-party studio that releases consistently. They have released 5 games over the PlayStation 5 transition period, from Spider-Man Remastered, Miles Morales, Ratchet and Clank, Spider-Man 2, and I think there's another one, but I can't think what it is right now. But the point is that is prolific, and you cannot expect a single studio to keep that level of quality up all the time. But they are the only ones that are meeting their deadlines. They're the only ones that are actually buying in. There's been a few purchases recently that we've not seen the fruits of yet. House Marquee, like, yeah, okay, great. Like, Returnal was fantastic, but what's coming down the pike to help warrant that? It is well acknowledged now from leaks and email and industry insiders that Sony heavily regret purchasing Bungie because they're not seeing the benefits of that purchase and that acquisition yet. Although some might say Helldivers 2 maybe getting some of the benefit of their expertise, but we haven't seen too much from that. So I suppose the question to ask is, what are Sony going to do over the next 12 months? Because we don't have a clear vision over where they're going.
I just think it's tighter, more refined, but in the same way, broader and looser. How'd you like that for a covering all the bases? Honestly, dude, I don't know. With all the layoffs they've gone on, with all the different studios being affected, I really don't know. I think there's... it's impossible to say, man. It really is impossible to say. It's one to keep an eye on. I just hope that we've kind of gotten over the worst of all of the layoffs and everything. I hope we're over that hill now. It sucks for everyone that's been affected by it. Because after all it is just this stupid thing because we like playing video games and pretending that we're liberating planets. So I really don't know. It's just this guy's only the interim dude, right?
Very true. And he could have the next person come in and be like, no, I want to go a completely different direction. But I don't think this guy has come to pick his nose, right? Like, he has made some heavy, heavy decisions. And like I say, there's a reason why that calendar is looking very slim for the next two quarters. And that's because I have a feeling that's where we were supposed to have Last of Us Fractions. That's where we were meant to have. Did you see the trailer for, it was part of the Insomniac leak, for Spider-Man, The Great Web? Like, that game was like at a phase where they had in-game footage to show in trailers and sizzle reels. Like, you do not make decisions like that unless it's a real... like, because there's money on the table at that point. You know, like at that point, the return on investment is like, we're going to have to put in a little bit more money potentially, but we can finish it and take it to market. For him to say, and I know each studio made these decisions, so obviously Naughty Dog come out and said, look, it just wasn't up to the quality of what we're looking for, and we just decided it's best to not pursue this anymore. And, you know, similar thing was said at Insomniac when it comes to The Great Web. But like, you're turning away money now for these strategic decisions, and I don't think you make those kind of decisions if you're just a seat filler.
I think the difficult thing right now is that it's predicting what is going to be the next Fortnite, what is going to be the next Helldivers in this case. And again, Helldivers has only been around for a couple of weeks at this point, right? So it may that we don't know what legs it has in it. It isn't cheap to produce games like The Great Web and have that multiplayer aspect. Look at the fucking state of the likes of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you see what they did with Joker?
Yeah, didn't they put him on for free or like a battle pass to unlock him? And it just basically just went, it looks shit.
So to get on the big expansion one for it, where you got like, you can be the Joker. That was the whole point. You are the Joker. Here we go.
Yeah, but it's Joker from another universe. It's not Mark Hamill. And
when you rock into the game, it resets all of your progress back to zero. So you've got to level up all of your characters again to the top level to even play the fucking mission to get the dude.
Oh my God.
Which is just like, and like, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, literally everyone's progress gets basically reset. So you've got to do all of the grind again across all of the characters to get to the point.
Have they ever played a video game?
That's fucking incredible. And that's to get him, right? And you'll basically, you unlock the Joker after you've done all of the story to get him. So there's nothing to do once you have him. Like, you don't play the game, like, and then, or of course, that's the key, you can just buy him with microtransactions straight off of the bat if you really want. So that's but this is it, right? We've seen some real high profile failures in the space over the last several years now, where it's like, and it kind of started with Anthem in a weird way, didn't it? Like, you know, but look at Avengers, look at fucking Suicide Squad and all this shite. You're getting a lot of backlash with a lot of the bigger traditional names. EAFC has not gone down well. Modern Warfare, the latest Call of Duty, did not go down well. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty with what do people want to play at the moment. And that's why I think a game like Helldivers has rocked in, because actually people really want to play something like this and they just didn't know it. But how do you prepare for something that people don't know what they want, right? A lot of the video game playing public, and this is why what Fortnite have done is such a fucking genius move, where they've just created their own fucking hub. Go on a Fortnite and it's like, I can either play Fortnite, I can play deathmatches, I can go and play a Lego game, I can play a racing game, I can play a sports game. I can do all of it within one game and I'm going to go anywhere else. And that's like, it's a real difficult thing to try and figure out what to do. Because again, even the likes of a Spider-Man 2, it's going to come and go.
Yep.
How are you going to, like, yeah, they can stick on a new game plus and add a new suit and they'll probably get a couple of people that want to buy it.
It's fleeting, though. It's fleeting, you're right.
It's fleeting, right? And with the amount of money these games cost to make, the investors are going to want to see continued revenue from these games. And that's why the gas model is the fucking holy grail, because it's when you drip feed people content, perfect. It's what Bungie did for years. And look what's happened to them, because they drip fed people content craply, you know? Yeah. But that's what they had to do to make the margins they needed, right? And the projections they had would be, we do this much, should get this, can't last forever. And that's what they found out. So it's just, we're in a really difficult time when it comes to making video games. And this fellow, what's his name, Hiroki Totoki, like...
Yep. He's a money guy as well, right? He's a numbers guy.
Exactly. So, I mean, even look at something like Diablo 4. Look at the fucking state of that. My God. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are no guarantees in gaming now. Because when you look through it, there's one. And it's Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah, or Final Fantasy 14.
People fucking love FF14, right? Like, that is an absolute...
It's like a cult, but it's like they're few and far between. I think you're right. Yeah. And I think one of the things that I'd like to see... I know Sony dabbled in this, and by all accounts, this was a failure. But when they started working on, I don't know what you call them, where it's sequels to a game, but it's not a full-blooded sequel, like Uncharted Lost Legacy, right? And Spider-Man Miles Morales. Yeah, right, where it's like, make something that's a little bit shorter, price it as such, and it means that your release cycles between games per studio is shorter, which means you have more products to promote and you have more variety in your subscription services when you eventually put it on there. I would really like to see like a Spider-Man 2.5 in the next 2 or 3 years, where maybe it's a Miles Morales sequel, where maybe they introduce Gwen Stacy, although spoiler alert, Silk's introduced at the end of Spider-Man 2, right? So like there's worlds where I think that you can bet more money on, especially if you've got prestige and authority. So like if Santa Monica make a game, you pay attention. It doesn't matter what the fuck it is. If Sony Studio Santa Monica make a game, you're going to go, all right, you've got my attention, right? And I hope that we don't have to wait like 5 years. And that's enough. Like, people forget, these games cost more than big blockbuster movies to make. You can't spit them out in a year. In fact, you're looking at like 5 years from like inception to hitting market on average. That's when everything goes well. So like all these big decisions that have been made over the last 18 months, they have ripple effects, because it's not like they weren't working on stuff. When they canned all these different games as a service games at a lot of these first party studios, they're like, yeah, I know we had other stuff in the cooker, but like that's like 3 or 4 years away. What's going to fill that void? And that's where you need your Helldiver 2s to start popping up and things like that. So great so far. But like you say, it's going to be impossible to know where it goes. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be damn fun covering it, eh?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, dude, just for context, right? Spider-Man 2, the video game, not the film.
Yeah.
That cost $300 million to make.
Insane.
That's probably without... that's probably not accounting for budget or for marketing either.
Yeah.
So, like, $300 million to make. And they announced that they sold 10 million copies in February. They surpassed 10 million units sold, bringing the game series to an astounding 50 million units overall. So what's 10 million times how much is Spider-Man 2?
70 bones. Or $69.99. Giggity.
Times 70. So let's say it made $700 million.
Not bad. It's a whole lot of schmeckles.
Not bad. How much do you think marketing was? Because, for example, like the Barbie.
Just movies,
for an example, right?
Yeah.
Like the Barbie's marketing was more than the fucking cost to make the film by a mile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, but then that made, didn't that make over $1 billion?
It made over $1 billion, right? Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's difficult, and not every game is going to do that. Look at the likes of Horizon.
Yeah. Like, well, actually, if you look at
the second one, sank like a stone.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, if you look at it like that, so 300 million budget, and you're right, movies tends to be, with blockbuster movies, it tends to be the same amount on the budget gets spent on the marketing, and I see no exception for this, right? So I can imagine there was 300 million plus spent on the marketing of this game. So you're looking at $600 million, and yes, they've made about, like you say, on the 700 mark now, but that's Spider-Man 2, okay? Right, so Rise of Ronin, let's use that example, that came out literally like 2 weeks ago, fell like a stone. Yeah, it got okay meddling reviews. No one's talking about it. I'm not saying it cost 300 million, but I reckon it'll be a three-digit sum in terms of... I reckon it'll be like a 100 million sort of project of some kind. And you're probably looking at a, you know, 200 million then with marketing and everything else on that. I don't think it's done 200 million back. So these things can be very, very expensive when you don't get them right.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And so it's just, you've got to get it right. And the only guarantees in video gaming at the moment are people will buy sports games and they'll buy Ultimate Team things for them. And the Fortnite will always do well.
Death and taxes. Well, you said it's got to be good. And let's move on to our next bit. You've got Dragon's Dogma 2. It's been selling amazingly well in spite of some controversy of the odd bit of microtransactions. I know you said you've only dabbled a little bit. Answer the question, my friend. Is it good?
I'll tell you what, it's weird. I don't know how to describe it so far. It's I wasn't prepared for all of the dialogue to be, "Where hast thou..."
Is it old Shakespeare English?
It's proper like old school, "Smitey thou sword on thy saddle and breeches." It's like proper, like, the fuck is going on, man? Like, that just fucking threw me. It's a fucking oddity of a game so far for me, dude. It really is an oddity. It's very good. It's very Capcom.
Right.
Yeah, it's very Capcom. It's very, it's just like, this is fucking bananas in all the weirdest of all the ways. You know what I mean? Even though it ain't 60 FPS, which my brain does fucking struggle with, right, enormously, especially going from The Ring to this, it's like, even though it's not buttery smooth, there are instances where it looks fucking incredible. The gameplay, like, in terms of just killing things, is really good. The freedom is really good. It feels, in terms of just like wandering around and just doing some stuff, I've seen people compare it to a mixture of Skyrim and Elden Ring.
Right.
I can see where they're coming from, is what I would say. It's very quirky, is what the other thing I would say. It's like quirky as all fuck. But it's interesting, and I applaud their fucking stones to make a game like this, to be honest, because it is fucking mental. I can't describe to you how why it's so mental, but I reckon Hemming will agree in terms of it's just nuttiness.
I saw a video of a guy fighting a griffin, and then he climbs on the griffin, and then the griffin flies away. And he continues the battle on the griffin as it's flying over these amazing landscapes. And it's very cinematic, but it's not a cutscene of how, like, this battle's going on. And I'm there thinking, like, this is probably up. It sounds like and looks like it's up there in terms of, like, it's up there with your Final Fantasies and your Baldur's Gates of the world in terms of, like, universe and immense, like, storytelling. But for some reason, like, it's never jived with me, this franchise. Like, I'm sure I'll get into it at some point. But it's done really well. It sold something like 6 million units in 11 days. Not 6 million, sorry, 2 million units in 6 days. So, yeah, that's 2 million, 6 days. There we go. It's done very, very well. And, you know, obviously it's going to get some of the pundits. I think due to the lack of games coming out at the moment, I think it sounds like it's going to be in there for the Game of the Year conversation. Do you think it's warranted of being up in that conversation?
Too early to say. It's too early to say. But so far from what I've played, it's very enjoyable. Like very enjoyable. It's very. I would say the word I would use is engrossing.
Nah. You know what I mean?
Like there's a lot of. It's quirky as balls, but there's also a lot of care and detail. Like very, like, because you have to create pawns, yeah? Like, or you create a pawn that's, and you essentially have a little party of people with you, right? And they fucking comment on everything. like, they don't shut up. And it's just, and you, like, they all have different personalities and they're like,
sire, children.
You know, there's a ladder over here. Why don't we go and climb the ladder to see what's over there? And it's just like, would you fucking shut up, you little stupid... But it's just like, it does make it like... I can't really describe it. It's just a fucking weird game, but it's
like when The Matrix came out and all those posters that would just say, you just have to see The Matrix, which, by the way, is a fucking... Speaking of Matrix, it's breaking news, just didn't break on social media. They've announced the fifth Matrix film. Whoever saw that fourth Matrix film said, you know what we need? You know what this fucking terrible movie needs? It needs another one. No one ever thought that. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. We'll when Hemming gets back, we'll dog down on Dogma.
He's played a lot more than I have. I'm going to get the ring done before I crack on properly with this.
Nice. I got your Lost Star thing. I went and picked it up. I didn't have it in my inventory, but it's really easy to find, so I've got it. So
hey!
I'll send it your way, sir.
Just let me know when you're online next, sir, and we'll just do it. It only takes 2 seconds because I want to have the staff of Loss dual wielding. Hey,
let me know if you need an old Bobby Boulders to come in and help with anything. I'm not very talented, but I am immensely overpowered to compensate for lack of talent.
What level are you now?
I am now level 235.
Fucking hell. How many runes is it taking to level up?
I need 440,000 runes to go up one level.
And how have you been leveling up? How did you know, the last 10 levels you did, did you fucking get them?
New Game Plus and taking out bosses, basically. So like Dragon Lords, so I'm taking out like those sort of fuckers. So you know, I don't know the name of the city. You know the floating city? I don't know if you got to it yet, where it's like tornadoes and stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, you'll see it eventually. There's a hidden boss that you can only get to if you just go to a random spot and just lie down. And then when you wake up, there's a dragon you have to fight, and he's hard as balls. That's the sort of bosses I have to kill now to get enough runes to then go back to the old grind place, the old grindy place, our favourite grindy place that looks like a Welsh, sounds like a Welsh village when you see the name pop up, and I then top it up to the levels I need to. I can, on a good run, get 80,000 runes at one time, and then I'll kind of go, all right, I'll go do something for a bit and then come back. When I lose my runes now, though, I get very upset.
I can imagine, dude. I that grindy place is like that poor pigeon that's sitting on the ledge on the left-hand side. That poor bastard, man. I just fucking mug that guy off constantly, and then he goes, and then...
Right, there you go, folks. 20,000. Keep it coming. Yeah, then
I do need to get the golden scarab, though. I need that to get some more runes.
Yes.
Don't that equipped.
But anyway, before we call this pod a pod, it was April Fool's Day a couple of days ago. Now... it's been a very hard line to walk for a lot of video game companies this year because it's kind of a fun thing to do some fun jokes announcements, but because most studios have done some fucking horrible announcements recently, you can imagine people collecting their boxes, walking out and go, where's the social media guy? Well, we fired him in the layoffs. Well, we need someone to do like a quirky April Fool's thing. We're kind of an April Fool's joke at the fucking moment, to be honest. So there's not that many, but I found a few from the internet, which I'd like to share with you in case you haven't seen them. The internet, yes. Have you seen the Sega April Fool's post? So it was fantastic. They go, we're excited to introduce the next innovation in gaming, cartridge loadable content. And it showed pictures of the old Mega Drive back in the 80s where you could plug in cartridges on top of each other. The original DLC, they're bringing it back, the CLC. Which I thought was fantastic. Another one was Pressure Washer. Do you remember that game, Pressure Washer? They said, oh, we've got a new update. It's going to be Cause Havoc. And all they've done is they've got someone playing the game and recorded it backwards to make it look like it's a game mode where you're getting stuff dirty. And I thought, oh, that was quite fun.
Okay.
That was an excellent one. There was a Pokemon one which was the Pokemon Sleep World Championship tournaments they announced, where basically you just have to, whoever sleeps the longest wins, and you just got to put your opponent to sleep. And there's lots of videos of people just putting their Pokemon to sleep in various different Pokemon formats. But here's my personal favourite. Now, CD Projekt Red have earned the right to piss about a little bit now. You know, like you fucked the pooch, but then you fixed the pooch and you made it sexy and, you know, good for you. They decided to do on their April Fool's thing of a, we have a new limited edition of Cyberpunk 2077. It's now in the form of floppy disks. Yes, you can collect 97,619 3.5 diskettes that contain the entirety of Cyberpunk 2077. Nice. Which I thought was just a lovely bit of fun. And a classic one, your boys at Bandai Namco, there we go, got it in the end, released their Elden Ring expansion. And it was just the word expansion in the Elden Ring font getting wider and expanding as a gif. There we go. I always enjoy a good April Fool's. I'm going to bring producer Moles back in. Was there any April Fool's that you saw that put a smile on the mole face?
Well, it wasn't technically an April Fool's, but this was a piece of news that made me laugh, is that President Putin is wanting to build a computer game universe system which would be software and hardware within the next 5 to 10 years.
So because basically, they can't sell video games over there anymore, well, right? Because it's like they're blocking shit.
He's wanting Russia to have their own version of Steam, and like Steam Decks and Steam hardware. That's the idea they're going for.
They're just going to rip off all Western games and put Putin as the hero. It's going to Putin Man 2, swing through Moscow. Watch out for Symbiote. It's from Ukraine. Sorry, it's going to get very dark quickly.
Careful now. So, they
power tank cleaner. You'll use your pressure washer to clean tank. Sorry.
Burnt out tank. So analysts seem to think this is going to take them 5 to 10 years to implement.
Super Putin world. Watch out for that. I'll stop it. Yes, you're right. It's a load of bollocks, isn't it?
Well, I'm thinking they should probably just knock next door to their good friends over in China and just say, look, can we have loads of like fake SNESs or something? Because that's the best they're going to get.
It's like you see those prototypes of the original PlayStation where Sony partnered with Nintendo for the Nintendo PlayStation, that sort of stuff.
It's going to look like that. It's going to be terrible. If it ever takes place, I don't know, maybe he's trying to win some points with the younger generations.
It'll be the Homer's car.
Exactly. It's exactly that.
It goes 2 hectares to the gallon. Put it in H.
No, it does. It does 45 FPS. That's the best. That's the real one. It's gonna be like you know when you were a kid and your parents couldn't afford you the Ghostbusters figurines, so they bought you the fake Ghostbuster figures. Hence why they made the TV show the real Ghostbusters. It's gonna be like that, but in console form. It's going to be your Startendo. You know, it's gonna be so bad. And I hope they make it for comedy reasons, but I also hope it flops because fuck Putin, to be quite frank.
We
get downloads in Russia. Like, if there's any Russians listening to this who aren't bots, and God bless you if you are bots, because you know what, the internet's full of them. But like, tell us what you do for video games at the moment, because I know it's very hard to get hold of stuff. So maybe you listen to this kind of stuff to kind of hear it. If we do, hopefully we're serving that need. But yeah, tell us what's going on over there, because we'd like to know. Yes. Fantastic. Yes. Well, on that note, let's call that a pod, gentlemen. I'd like to thank Mr. Michael Carlton Edwards, who stepped up amazingly. Thank you, sir. Woo! Thank you to our producer, Jonathan Mills.
Sayonara, brother.
And I have been your host of this here establishment. It has been a pleasure to serve you with democracy. Thank you.